we continue with Dr. Dan Siegel, psychotherapist and the author of The Mindful Brain, to explore the relationship between mindfulness and the brain.
In mindful awareness, what are we really talking about? And in a presentation called The Mindful Brain, what do we mean when we put the term mindful adjacent to this term brain? We need to really be careful as you and I communicate with each other, because I'm using language, which involves not only words, but because this is an audio presentation and not just a book, it'll be the nonverbal communication that you and I share. So in the term of language, mindful brain, we're going to be looking at this concept of mindfulness, which we'll define in a moment, and in particular, examine how mindful awareness, very different from plain awareness, actually gives rise to certain changes in the way we live. By looking at our nervous system, and we're going to specifically examine the extended nervous system throughout the whole body. And the simplest way of saying extended nervous system throughout the whole body is just to use the term brain. So when I use the term brain, just please know that I'm talking about a nervous system that has a lot of neurons, these basic cells of the brain, in the skull, but those are intimately interconnected with everything that goes on beneath the skull. So that would include things that happen in your muscles, in your skin, the sensations in your viscera, which are your hollow organs like your heart and lungs and intestine. And so when I use the term brain, it's just a shorthand for talking about the extended nervous system. So we're going to look at how the way you pay attention with your mind for a mindful focus of awareness actually harnesses the nervous system, the brain, in very specific ways that improve mental functioning, improve physiological functioning, and even improve relationships. So the mindful brain is a term that we are going to use to really talk about this exciting new perspective that, in fact, mindfulness is a relational process that enhances all of these aspects of our lives. Now, what's the science behind that claim? What do we know about mindfulness in general, this idea of paying attention in the present moment without holding on to judgments and doing this with intention? That's a general definition of mindfulness, and there are wonderful writers like Jon Kabat-Zinn, who particularly uses that definition, and other writers like Jack Kornfield and Tara Brach and Sharon Salzberg and many, many other wonderful writers who extensively talk about the experience of mindfulness and have various definitions that the scientific literature is now exploring. Well, this way of paying attention on purpose to the present moment and letting go of judgments is a very special form of awareness that is different from just, say, if I say to you now, pay attention to your right foot. Now, you may pay attention to your right foot, but that doesn't mean you're mindfully attending to it. You may think, oh, my right foot is bigger than it should be or smaller than it should be, or it aches and I'm not someone who should have an ache in my right foot. And all those judgments that might color your awareness of your right foot would make that a plain awareness of your right foot, not a mindful awareness. If this, in fact, is a description of mindful awareness, and there's some powerful mechanism by which these ancient traditions, and mindful awareness, by the way, has been promoted in the West, in the East, it's been promoted in ancient times and promoted in modern times, it's present in every culture we can find. To various forms of practices, mindful awareness has been used to actually promote health. And it's recently, in the last 20 or 30 years, that scientists and academic clinicians who are going to carefully study the use of mindful awareness in clinical settings can definitively say that the ancient wisdom of all of these various Eastern and Western cultures to say that mindful awareness promotes well-being, we now know scientifically that that is true. So let me review for you some of the science. What we've found And I say we, meaning the collective human effort, to apply rigorous scientific studies, that is, taking objective approaches with collecting data, using research subjects, controlling the situation, analyzing the information that you get, discussing your conclusions, presenting this material to other scientists who can agree or disagree and make critical comments, and then publish this material in various settings, scientific journals, presenting it at meetings, books. All these ways in which science is carried out has been actually a focus of a number of very intriguing and really ingenious approaches to studying mindful awareness. The take-home message is that the way you pay attention activates the brain in certain very specific ways, and it looks like the activation of the brain creates a kind of state of mind that we call mindful awareness. When that state, this kind of brain activation that's created by the focus of the mind, when that state is recreated, when a person practices mindfulness, let's say every day for even just a few minutes, that state ultimately will become a trait of the individual. So the notion is that with mindful awareness practice, you actually create a state of mind that's very unique. When the brain is activated in certain ways, we know now that that activation of brain firing actually leads to structural changes in the brain itself. When those structural changes have been made, a temporary, intentionally created state can become an automatic long-term trait because the structure of the brain has developed and grown in the direction of mindful traits. So this is where, from just a take-home point of view, we say that mindful practice is more than just feeling the experience of that mindful practice in that 20-minute, 15-minute, 10-minute period, whatever you do. It actually is setting yourself up to change the structure of your brain toward health.